Sunday nights, we've been preaching about how to develop our own personal biblical standards. We've covered a lot of ground. We started with a right attitude, and then that's where we started. We said if you're going to develop a personal biblical standard, you have to have the right attitude as you get started. We preached about that, and then we preached a message called Let's Start Building, and we gave you four steps to building standards. We preached about, and if you may remember, as we've laid it out on the platform, go into the Scripture and developing a principle from the Scripture, and then that principle becomes a conviction, and that conviction can then become a standard. It's taking the Bible and applying it to my life. What does the Bible say? How can I obey the Bible? We moved on and we preached about your conscience and how God uses your conscience. And sometimes if we allow sin into our life, our conscience will be seared. And so we can't necessarily trust just how we feel. We need to trust the Word of God. We preached a message about rules versus principles and how we're not just trying to obey a set of rules, we're trying to obey the Bible and the principles laid out in the Bible. We spent a message and preached about the blessings and cursings that come from obeying or disobeying God. You may remember we went to the Old Testament and we read through some of the blessings that God promised Israel if they would obey Him and they would serve Him. And then some of the curses that God said, I'm going to bring upon Israel if they reject me and if they start worshiping false gods. We preached a message about how multiple scriptures can sometimes reinforce a principle. It's not just one verse in the Bible, but you read it again in another place, you read it again in another place, and you realize this is something that's really important to God. He's mentioned it several places. I need to apply it to my life. We preached about influence and the importance of who you allow to influence you. It's such an important thing. In our Sunday school class, I've been starting a series for 3 weeks in our Sunday school class. We're about to get going. This morning, we talked just a little bit about music and the power of influence that music has on us. We need to be careful of who we allow to influence us, of what we allow to influence us. We preached a message about association and how it's important who you associate with. Somebody said it this way, you'll be the same person in 5 years as you are now, except for the books you read and the people that you meet. What do you associate with? Who do you associate with? Because that will influence you. We preached a message about identification. Who do you identify, not as, that's a new statement in our culture, but who do you identify with? Who are you like? Who do you identify with? We preached a message about convergence. Convergence. When multiple principles talk about a single topic, if you've got several, not just verses about the same principle, but whenever you've got, here's a principle, let's talk about the home. Here's a principle about the home, that a husband's supposed to be the head of the home. He's supposed to lead a home like an umbrella of authority. And so you've got this principle about the home. Children obey your parents. It's a principle about the home. And you've got several principles about home, and that's convergence and how these principles work together to help us understand a single topic and help us to develop a standard in that single topic. All of that, though, really is not going to do us any good if we don't understand the truth that we're going to preach tonight. Look at Luke chapter 5 and look at verse number 1. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now let me ask you, what were the people pressing? This is Jesus. What were the people pressing upon him to hear? What was it that they wanted to hear? There's three words, I think. The word of God. They wanted to hear the word of God. Jesus is speaking, and they wanted to get close enough to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, the Bible says, verse 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered, this is Jesus, he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Can you picture this? There's so many people. They're pushed up against Jesus. They want to hear the word of God. There's no PA system. There's no microphones. Sometimes it's a blessing to have a microphone. Sometimes it's not a blessing to have a microphone. Whenever I don't know what gets in the microphone sometimes. We're talking about spiritual warfare in Sunday school. I don't know what's going on with that sometimes. But sometimes it's just, wow, they mess up. Here's Jesus. He's standing on the edge of the Lake Gennesaret, and he's teaching the people the Word of God, and they're getting closer and closer and closer. Anybody claustrophobic? You don't like going into big crowds because all the people? You go shopping at the mall on Christmas Eve, and you're like, ah, this is crazy. Why did I wait so long to buy Christmas presents? And you don't like a lot of people. Now, some people thrive on it. They're like, yeah, people. But some of us don't. We're kind of like, and so Jesus is getting pushed back. And so there's a little ship that's there in the water. He gets into the ship. He pushes away a little bit from the land, and he teaches the people from the ship. There's a little barrier of water there. And now he can teach the people. They're not getting too close, and he can project his voice. Everybody can hear him now. So what is it that he's saying? Verse number three, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Verse 4. Now when he left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon, I want you to go out now. Thanks for letting me use your boat. But Simon, now I want you to go out into the deep part of the lake, and I want you to throw your nets over because you're going to catch a whole bunch of fish. Simon, I know it's daytime. I know you usually fish at night. It's daytime, and I know it's not the right time for fishing. He didn't say all of this, but I'm just imagining what Simon might have been thinking. And he says, go out into the deep part of the lake and throw out your nets, and you're going to catch a bunch of fish. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Look, we fished all night long. We're just finishing up. We just came back to the shore. We're mending our nets. We're fixing things up. We're cleaning our boats. We're cleaning our nets. We didn't catch anything all night. We were out there fishing. We did exactly what you just told us to do. We're out there all night fishing. We didn't catch anything. But that's not the end of Peter's statement. He didn't say, Master, I'm not going to do it. He said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, what a powerful word here. He says, this is what we've done all night. It didn't work. We caught nothing all night, but, or nevertheless, or that really doesn't matter, because look what he says next. It's in verse number 5. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. I don't understand why you're telling me to go out into the lake in the middle of the day. We just went out fishing all night long. We caught nothing. This is really not the way to do it. And you're a carpenter, not a fisherman. I'm a fisherman. What are you doing telling us? I don't know what Peter was thinking. This is what I would have been thinking if it would have been my boat. I would have been thinking, you really don't know what you're talking about. I would have been thinking, I'm the fisherman, I'm the pro here. Of course, I didn't catch anything last night, so maybe I could use some advice, but nevertheless, even though it doesn't make sense, even though I don't understand, even though I don't agree with you, I'm going to go out and I'm going to go into the deep and I will let down the net. What a statement. But what was it that convinced Peter to do that? Nevertheless, at thy word. At thy word. The Bible said the people came close so that they could hear. Do you remember what it was that they came to hear? The Word of God. Jesus is talking. When Jesus is talking, it's the Word of God. And they get up close to where Jesus is to hear the Word of God. Peter says, I will go out and I will cast out my net and I will let down my net because of the Word of God. Nevertheless, at thy word. I wouldn't do it otherwise. But because the Bible, or because the Word of God, Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 1, is the Word of God. Anything he says, you understand, when God talked, Jesus, there's so many aspects here. When Jesus, who is God in the flesh, talks, every word he says is the Word of God. You understand this. So Peter says, I will do it. I don't agree, I don't understand, but I will do it because the Word of God says to do it. We're talking about developing personal standards. There's some things that I don't agree with in the Bible, but I need to do it. There's some things that I don't understand that God said to do, but I need to do them. That's what this message is about. Peter said, at thy word. An atheist checks everything against what he thinks. An atheist is going to ask this question, what makes sense to me? And he looks through the Bible and he asks some questions like, why would God tell Abraham to kill his own son? Come on, you can't really believe that. That doesn't make any sense at all. God promised a son to Abraham and told him to kill his own son. And is God really in favor of child sacrifice? You talk to an atheist for a while, you're going to get questions like this because it doesn't make sense in their mind. An atheist is going to say, come on, a talking snake? A burning bush? Why would a God who's supposed to love people send them to hell? They're going to ask these questions because it doesn't make sense. In my mind, none of that makes sense. In an atheist's mind, a person who doesn't believe God, that doesn't make sense because they ask themselves, what makes sense to me? A virgin giving birth? Peter and Jesus walking on the water? Come on, that doesn't make any sense. But a Christian checks everything against the Bible. You got a statement like this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's just that simple. A Christian looks at that and says, well, the Bible says it, and that settles it. There's no argument here. It doesn't have to make sense to me. And an atheist will look at that and say, oh, you guys are just weak-minded. And if when something just departs from normality, it departs from logic, you Christians say, oh, that's where faith kicks in. Well, yeah, that's where faith kicks in. But they don't get it because it doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to Peter. Cast out into the deep, or launch out into the deep, and cast thy nets, and let down thy net for a draught. You can catch a lot of fish if you just obey my word. Peter said, at thy word I will do it. Jesus saw Peter and Andrew mending nets, and Jesus asked Peter to let him teach from his ship. Jesus sat down and taught the people. Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep and let down his nets. Peter had been fishing all night, caught nothing. But he said, at thy word I'll let down my net. And if you go on in this story, verse number 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. They caught so many fish that their net broke. Whenever you're out fishing, we do a different kind of fishing, right? We fish with a fishing rod and a reel. Okay, it's always awesome to catch a fish. But if you have a fish so big that it bends your rod over and just snaps your rod off, that's probably just as good or better than catching a fish. It was so big it broke my fishing rod. You can tell everybody about that. Here they are. They've gone out fishing. They let down their nets. They've been fishing all night and they hadn't caught anything. But Jesus said it, so at thy word, and they did it. They let down their nets. They caught so many fish. The Bible says that their net was full, and it was so full their net broke. Verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, look at this, so that they began to sink. Now you've got two ships with so much fish in it, they're both starting to sink. This is just unreal. It was a miracle. It was incredible. It didn't make any sense. Jesus telling Peter to go out and go fishing again didn't make any sense. Telling him to drop down his nets again didn't make any sense. Catching so many fish that both ships are begin to sink doesn't make any sense. But look at Peter's reaction. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now this isn't the message, but that makes sense. Jesus had just sent them out. They caught more fish than they ever imagined. And Jesus says, look, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You want that kind of results, but something that's going to really matter? Why don't you come with me? Instead of catching fish, I'm going to let you catch men at thy word. What a statement. You know, the Bible says some things that don't make sense to us. The Bible says some things that we might not agree with. But if we could come to the Word of God with this statement, just like Peter, and say, God, I don't understand it. God, I don't agree with it necessarily, but at thy word, I will do it. That'll change everything for us. We're talking about building some personal standards. These personal standards ought to all be based on the Scripture. If you remember building these personal standards, when you come to the Scripture, when the Bible says it, We just need to make this decision. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter if it makes sense to me. Doesn't matter if I agree with it. Doesn't matter if it's popular in my culture. I'm just going to do it because the Bible said to it. It's the Word of God. At thy word, I will do it. So when we're talking about personal standard, this is where it gets difficult. We all agree with that. We all agree, yes, if the Bible says it, absolutely. But whenever it comes down to right here, it gets hard. The Bible says I'm not supposed to do this. The Bible says I am supposed to do this. Let me use tithing for an example because I think most everybody here, you would agree with me that we're supposed to tithe. If you don't agree with me, I can convince you otherwise if you give me a chance. But it's hard. God says He expects us to give at least 10% back to Him. That's the tithe. We're supposed to give Him tithes and offerings. Now, how am I supposed to live on only 90% of what I make? It's an amazing thing that I can't explain. I don't understand it all completely. But God blesses when we tithe, and He blesses so that we can live better on 90% or less than we live on 100%. I promise you, and that's the way it's worked for me. That's the way it's worked for so many people, but it doesn't make sense. And when I look at the Scriptures and I see the Bible tells us that we're supposed to tithe, and the Bible gives us a blessing. If you just read through Malachi, it says, if we don't tithe, we're robbing God. So this is not a message about tithing. This is an illustration, all right? He says, if we don't tithe, we're robbing God. And I come over here and I say, okay, so what am I supposed to do? Well, if the Bible says it, that settles it. I'm just supposed to do it. What should my response be? Well, God, I don't understand all of this. I don't know that I can live on 90%. But at thy word, I'll obey. And if we could take that one statement and we could apply it to the areas of life, it's going to help us. The Bible does talk about how we ought to dress. The Bible does talk about how we ought to be separate from the world. The Bible does talk about how we should not get involved in worldly entertainment. And there's some details there. And what we need to do is say, at thy word, I'll do it. I don't understand it all. The Bible does say that we ought not to be unequally yoked. The Bible tells us, if we're a Christian, we should not marry somebody who's not saved. That might not always make sense. Now, somebody that's older and wiser can look it back and say, that would be really dumb if you do that. But in our situation, we're in love and everything just looks beautiful. It doesn't make any sense. Why can't I marry somebody that's not saved? The right answer is at thy word. I'll do it. I don't understand it. I don't agree with you. But that's just some examples. Wow, the Word of God. If we could come to the Word of God and we could just realize if God says it, that settles it. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means God breathed the Bible into existence. He used human writers to do it, but it's the very breath of God. These 66 books that make up this Bible, given to us over 1,500 years, about 40 different people wrote that. Of these different parts, they all work together. Most of these people didn't know each other, and it all fits just perfectly without contradictions. God breathed His Word, all Scripture given by inspiration of God. Just like a musician breathes into a trumpet to produce the sound that he wants. I love the trumpet. We had trumpets in our wedding. They're powerful. I love the trumpet whenever there's maybe a harmony of trumpets, two or three of them. Wow, it's just awesome. The what do you call it? The artist, the trumpeteer, the person playing the trumpet, the blower, all right? And he blows into this trumpet. And his breath turns into this music that's just so very powerful. And the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's the breath of God, the very breath of God. And these words that we have are the words of God. If you understand that, it's going to help you to say, nevertheless, at thy word. God, I don't understand all of it. I don't understand really what you want from me. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense that you say I can do that. I need to do this. I can't do this. These things don't make sense to me, but nevertheless, at thy word, because it is God's word. Jesus said this, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by, what's the next two words? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Psalm 119:89, I just want you to listen to this. Here it is. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The word of God. I can look at the Scripture, whether I agree with it or disagree with it, and I can look at it and say, nevertheless, at thy word. Why? It's been settled in heaven forever. The word of God was settled before creation, according to that verse. God knew what he was going to say. It was already there. It was already settled. There's another message that I have where God tells an angel to go down. I believe it was Daniel. And he said, go down and show him what is written in the scriptures. Before it was written. God's word has been settled forever. So whenever it comes to me deciding, do I obey it? What should my personal standard be? It's just very simple. Nevertheless, at thy word, the Bible says that God's word has been settled forever. If there's anything I don't want to disagree with, it's simply the word of God. It's all given by inspiration of God. The Bible says, Jesus said we should live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says of itself, every word or thy word is settled in heaven. 1 Peter 1:25 says this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. It's been settled forever, and it endureth forever. A question for you. If so many people have died for it, shouldn't we be willing to live for it? And that comes down to right here. Scripture, principles, convictions, and standards. How do I live? The day-to-day, the rules that I use to determine how I'm going to live today, the rules I make for myself, should I base them on the Scripture or should I base them on what I want to do? It's very simple. Nevertheless, at thy word. I don't agree with it maybe, I don't understand it maybe, but at thy word. I love this poem. The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is a traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Read it slowly, frequently, prayerfully. It's a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It involves the highest responsibility, rewards the greatest labor, and condemns all who trifle with its holy contents, the Word of God. The Roman Emperor Diocletian decreed in 303 AD that every Bible be destroyed. He built a column that said, the name of Christian is extinguished. That was in 303 AD. That's 1,700 years ago that the emperor said, the name of Christian is extinguished. Well, we know that it wasn't, but in 10 years, the pagan symbols of Rome had been replaced with the cross, and Christianity had actually become the official religion of Rome. Well, I don't agree with the way all that happened. The name of Christian wasn't extinguished. You can't extinguish the Word of God. The French atheist Voltaire boasted this. He said, 100 years from my day, there will not be a Bible in the earth except one that is looked upon by an antiquarian curiosity seeker. Basically, the only Bibles are going to be on the History Channel. 20 years after he died, the Geneva Bible Society bought his house to print Bibles. And then later, his house became the Paris headquarters for distributing Bibles across Europe because the Word of God endures forever. George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. Andrew Jackson said, that book, sir, is the rock on which our republic rests. Woodrow Wilson said, the Bible's the word of life. I feel sorry for the men who do not read the Bible every day. I wonder why they deprive themselves of the strength and pleasure. Abraham Lincoln said, I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book, the Bible. John Quincy Adams said, I have for many years made it a practice to read through the Bible once every year. These are the presidents of the United States. And Jesus said, launch out into the deep and cast out your nets. Peter didn't understand the command, but he obeyed God's word. It didn't make sense to fish during the day instead of the night. Have you ever been told to do something that you didn't understand? If you're a 10th grader, or you're finishing up 10th grade, or you're finishing up 11th grade, you've been told that you need to learn math. And you've probably thought, why in the world do I need to learn math? Why do I need to learn all X's and Y's and exponents and square roots and radicals and imaginary numbers? Doesn't make any, why, you know, and a lot of times we think, why do I need to learn something I don't understand? When am I ever going to use that? Peter didn't understand. There's a lot of things we don't understand, but whenever we see it in the Bible, we read it there. There's a song that we sing at youth conference. We hold up our Bible, this blessed old book that I hold in my hand. We'll sing that chorus. And the end of it goes, and if when you read it, you find something wrong, you know how it goes? Then there's something wrong with you. Or with me, right? Y'all pointed your fingers at me. You too. The Bible's what is right. If I find something that disagrees between my life and the Bible, I am wrong. Peter didn't understand the command, but he obeyed God's word. There's times you're not going to understand the Bible, but you should obey it because it's God's word. You might not understand why God would choose to save horrible sinners. That's a sticking point sometimes as you share the gospel. Sometimes we'll say, well, people will say, well, he can't save like all the people. What about Hitler? What about, and they'll name some terrible, terrible people and they don't understand. I have a hard time understanding. How could God save somebody so sinful as that? You may not understand how God can forgive every sin you ever did. You may not understand how God can forgive every sin that you ever will do. Oh, I love giving people this picture. Jesus died on the cross about 2,000 years ago. And he looked into the future and he saw you before you were even born. And when he looked into the future, he saw you and he paid the price for every sin that you were going to commit. And he didn't just pay the price way back there on the cross for every sin that you were going to commit, but he paid the price for every sin that you're going to commit in the future. Every single sin that you've ever committed from the time you were born till now, but not even stopping now, going all the way into the future, he paid for that. We died on the cross. You may not be able to understand that, but it's true. You may not understand how Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father are all one, but yet all unique. You might not understand how Jesus turned water into wine, or how Moses crossed the Red Sea, or how Jesus walked on water. I can't understand any of those things, except that it was a miracle of God. You may not understand how Jesus ascended up into heaven, or where heaven is, or why you can't see heaven. These are some things I can't understand. If somebody was to ask me, well, can you explain this? I'd have to say, no, I can't. I can't explain. I don't understand all of these. But whenever you understand this truth, nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to go ahead and obey you anyway, God. I don't understand all of these things, but I'm still going to obey. You may not understand why the Bible commands us to tithe. You may not understand why the Bible says to forgive your enemies or to go to church. You might not understand. I don't understand this. How a normal person like you and I can tell a total stranger about Jesus, and that stranger will bow his head and close his eyes and pray to a God he's never seen before and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. I can't explain it. I can't understand it. But I've seen it happen so many times. I just know that, nevertheless, at thy word, Jesus said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't understand how it works, but if I just say, nevertheless, at thy word, and I just go do it, God's going to work. Peter didn't understand the command, but he obeyed. If you'll simply do that, when we're preaching about standards, if you'll simply say, God, I'll just obey. Whatever it is your word says, I'll just obey. Now, in theory, I think every one of us would say, that's me. I believe I'll do it. If God says it, I'll do it. But when it comes to right here, living, what I watch, where I go, what I listen to, what I wear, how I talk, these things, whenever it comes down to this, I think we struggle a little bit because we struggle with this. Nevertheless, at thy word. If we could simply settle this, God, if your word says it, that's it. I surrender. I'm not going to argue with you. Peter didn't agree with the command, but he obeyed God's word. They had just failed. They just spent all night fishing in their own power. But they went out the second time in God's power, and they got so many fish. Have you ever been told to do something that you don't agree with? Okay. About every day. We're going to teen camp next week. At teen camp, they have the biggest rappelling cliff I have ever seen. I bet it's a pretty big rappelling cliff. This one's huge. I think it's about 200 feet. That means there's a cliff 200 feet up, and you're going to stand there. And I've done it just about every, I think every year I've gone there, I've done it. And they tell you to turn around backwards, okay? You turn around backwards, and you're all tied into ropes, okay? So it's safe. But then they tell you to lean backwards over a 200-foot cliff. And then they say, don't hold the rope in front of you. Wait a minute. The rope in front of me is what's anchored to that rock up there. I need to hold that rope. And they say, hold the rope behind you instead. Now that's just dumb. Who's going to hold a rope behind you whenever the rope in front of you, the rope behind you is not tied to anything. It's just hanging down there. The rope in front of you is what's tied to the rock. That doesn't make any sense. I do not agree. But if you hold the rope in front of you, you're going to have a tough time. You're going to fall. Now they got a safety rope on you, so you're not going to fall too far or too fast. But you got to hold the rope behind you. That's like Peter saying, nevertheless, at thy word, I don't understand. I don't agree. But okay, I'll hold the rope behind me. You ever been water skiing? Water skiing, so much fun. Get out there. It's hard to get up the first time. You got to stand up. Especially if you have a not a very powerful boat, and they just kind of drag you and drag you and drag you. Water's going up your nose. I'm dying. Once you get up and you're water skiing along, how many of you ever been water skiing before? Oh, it's fun. It's so much fun. And you're holding this rope. It's like 50 feet between you and the boat. And they're yelling at you like, are you having fun? You can't hear the thing. You're like, yeah. This is great. And then they tell you, when you fall, what are you supposed to do? Let go of the rope. No. I'm out in the middle of the lake. It's 300. I learned how to water ski at Conscious. It's 300 feet deep. There's supposed to be man-eating catfish in this. I mean, huge. And they said, let go of the rope. There is no way I'm letting go of this rope. And you're just going to leave me out in the middle of the lake? If you don't let go of the rope and you're water skiing, I can tell you from experience, if you're water skiing along, you fall down, poof, you go in the water. You don't let go of the rope, it will pull you along behind the boat. It'll pull you under the water. If you're not careful, you get water in your eyes, up in your eyelids, in your nose. You have to let go of the rope. It doesn't make sense. You may not agree. And Peter said, Lord, it doesn't make sense. I don't agree. Nevertheless, at thy word, I disagree. Lord, have you ever felt God was wrong? Now, you know he's not. I know he's not wrong. Have you ever felt that he might have been wrong? Brother Waterhouse this morning talked about his daughter getting cancer and dealing with that. And he said, there's days where I was upset at God. You ever felt God was wrong? You know he's not. When you have that feeling, that's where you go back to what Peter said. And I don't understand, I don't agree, nevertheless, at thy word. There'll be times when you won't agree with the Bible, but you should obey it because it's God's word. You may not agree. A lot of people don't agree that there's only one way to heaven, and that one way is through Jesus Christ. But until you say, nevertheless, at thy word, and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can't be saved. You've got to trust Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As long as I am in disagreement with that and I refuse to obey what Jesus said just to trust him, I can't be saved. I've got to get to that point where I say, nevertheless, at thy word, doesn't make sense. I heard Oprah say, no, there's got to be many ways to heaven. So if Oprah said it, then it's got to be true. Okay, so that's false. But for whatever reason, I don't agree with that. You've got to get to the point where you say, nevertheless, at thy word. You may not agree that every person is a sinner and deserves eternal punishment in hell. I don't like that. A lot of people don't agree with that. Now, our response to the Lord just simply needs to be, nevertheless, at thy word. I don't like this, but at thy word, I'll do it. There'll be times when you'll not like what the Bible says, but you obey it because it's the word of God. There were times I didn't like the part about children obey your parents. Now I like it, but there were times I didn't. I still don't like the part about thou shalt not covet. I struggle with that one. Even though my life verse that I picked when I was a kid says not to be covetous, I still struggle with that. Adam and Eve didn't like God's command not to eat the fruit. Peter didn't like washing Jesus' feet or Jesus washing his feet. You ever thought about if Noah liked God's command to live in a floating zoo for a whole year? A sealed boat with these animals? I don't like turning the other cheek when someone does wrong to me. I really don't like that. I don't like loving my enemies and praying for those who persecute me. I don't like any of those things. But if I can respond like Peter and say, nevertheless, at thy word, that's what you said, do. I don't understand it, I don't agree with it, I don't like it, but I'll do it. Why did Peter obey? And we're done. He recognized the authority behind the command. Look at Luke chapter 5, look at verse number 5. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. And Simon answering unto him, said unto him, what's the next word? Master. And Simon answering said unto him, Master. He recognized the authority behind the command. When you realize the authority behind this scripture, Master, Messiah, God, creator, redeemer. You realize who gave us the command? You can come over here and say, I'll do it. I'll do what you said. I may not understand it. I may not like it. I may not agree with it, but I'll do it. So we need to obey the Bible because it's perfect. It's the preserved Word of God. And it's so simple. If God says do it, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. Father, I pray that you would use this message to help us to live a life that pleases you. Lord, we don't understand all the time. We don't agree all the time. We don't even like it all the time. But Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts to the point where we could just say, nevertheless, at thy word. Lord, help us to understand that when there's a difference between your word and us, the problem is with us. And we need to do some changing. We need to do some getting right. I pray that you'd help us to live life this week and keep this in our mind, nevertheless, at thy word. Lord, help us to get into your word. Help us to study your word. Help us to get to know your scriptures, your words that came from your mouth. Help us to learn them. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to obey.